such a great privilege to be in the presence of God. It's something David cried for. It's something all the old prophets and the people of the Old Testament, they desire to be in the presence of God. And when we have times like these, it's not like we're just waiting to get emotional, or this is not driven by feelings at all. It's not. But if you've given your heart to Him, there should be times where you can really feel that you are just in the presence of God. Just, it's you looking at Him, it's Him looking at you, and you know that He is as real can be to you. Father, I thank You for times like these. I thank You for times that we can just get together and as a body, as a group of believers, just be with You, Lord. And just give You the honor that's due to You, because You are worthy of it all, Father. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we get to praise You and worship You. Thank You, Jesus. So, I want to talk about actually... Okay, may I claim a drop, please? I want to talk about being a people of His presence. And I want to build this up towards an announcement I have for next week, which is the 24-hour prayer meeting that we'll be doing. Because I, for the last few weeks now, every morning in the prayer meeting that we have before the sermon, is every time we get together and we ask each other, hey, what's God saying to you? What's God saying to you? And it's been repeatedly a people of His presence. Being a people of His presence. Just fix your eyes on Him. Look at Him. Soak in His presence. Wait for the presence of His Spirit. It's been repeatedly. And I think we would be disobedient if we don't start fixing our ears towards that direction. If God is saying, be a people of My presence. So, I want us to look at, let's start with Luke 19, verse 36 to 40. So this is the triumphal entry where Jesus comes. It's nearing the end of His ministry on earth. And He's been traveling, He's been doing what He came to do, and then He's on His way to Jerusalem. And of course, at this moment, the disciples and all those who follow Him, they have this idea that the King is coming. And He is. The King is coming. But they had the wrong idea about this kingdom that was going to come. But so, this is Jesus coming in on the donkey, as we know. And as He rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As He was drawing near already on the way down to the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of His disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they have seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answers, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones will cry out. Now, you need to get this picture of this convoy, because Jesus is on this donkey, on the colt, coming in, and the people are giving Him almost a kingly entrance, making a loud noise and praising God. And the Pharisees are walking next to Him, saying, quiet these people down, this is heresy. And Jesus says, no, this is... So there's a big crowd of people around Jesus as He's entering. The next moment, this whole thing stops. Jesus is still entering Jerusalem, but this whole convoy is stopped. And the next moment, Jesus, where there was praises and people worshiping, shouting with joy about the things they've seen, Jesus brings it all to a stop. And when He drew near and saw the city, this is Jerusalem, as He was just about to enter Jerusalem, He could see the whole city. He wept over it, saying, what would you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up barricades around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And tear you down to the ground, you and your children with you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Matthew in the NIV says this beautifully. Jesus stops and he cries, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophet and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." This is Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem, weeping over it, crying over Jerusalem. Jerusalem was close to his heart. Jerusalem was a special place for Jesus, for God, since the very beginning. 2 Chronicles and 1 Kings, I think I've got them up in one slide. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 16 says, "For now I have chosen and consecrated this house." He's actually speaking about Jerusalem, about his people. "That my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time." 1 Kings 11:36 says, "Yet to his son I will give one tribe, that David my servant may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city where I have chosen to put my name." Jesus comes to the place where he historically, as God, he gave the city his name. These were a chosen people in a chosen place. A chosen people that he had set aside for himself. And he set them aside in a city where, what he said, "This city will bear my name. These will be my special people and they will bear my name." And reading this, going through this, I was kind of taken back, because this is the garden all over again. It's a people put on earth to show something of God, to represent him, to carry his name, to carry his presence, to carry his authority. But that place became a place of actually rejection, a place that rejected God. Let's go to Genesis 3, 8 to 9. This is Adam and Eve, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." This was the habit. God created man. He created creation. And then he had a place, the garden, a place, and he had a people in that garden. He had a people in that place that he said, "You are made to my image. You're made in the likeness of me. And I want you to represent me, to carry my name, and to have my authority, to be in the likeness of me." That's what God said to Adam and Eve. And then God had this habit of coming down and spending time with them, being among them, his presence being with them. And the man and his wife hid themselves from what? From the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to man and said to him, "Where are you?" God, from the beginning, made a place, made a people, and chose that his presence will be there with them. That he will be present with them, that there will be fellowship with him. I remember as a young boy, whenever we would drive a bit further than just Montague to Ashton, my dad had a tape in the bucky of Don Francisco. Does anyone know? Yeah, he's got a song. It's not really the music I listened to, but the song was so capturing, so emotional, that it's just the power of the word and worship and music. Because I remember to this day the emotions in his voice. He's got a song. The song is called "Adam, Where Are You?" And the song ends with, "Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, I love you. Adam, what have you done? It's a father's cry. Because there was a place and there was a people and they rejected him. They didn't just reject his ways. I know they sinned against him. But sinning against God meant that, I mean, there was a whole discussion between Adam and Eve happening. They were second-guessing him, thinking that maybe he doesn't have my best interest at heart. Maybe there's a better way. They rejected not just the authority and the ways and the rules of God. They rejected God and his friendship and his presence. The very first thing that they robbed themselves of is the presence of God. The moment sin comes in, gone is the presence of God. And so what we see when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, this is, he responds very emotionally. Because in the very beginning he made man in his image to have fellowship with him and they rejected him. This is God now coming in person, in flesh, as a human, coming into creation, coming to the very people he chose to set aside for himself, to the city he said will bear his name. And John 1:11. Okay. He came to his own people and even they rejected him. It's like a repeat and a repeat and a repeat of the same thing happening. God extends his love, his mercy, and it's rejected by mankind time and time again. It's a people he chose in a place that he chose. 1 Peter 2 verse 4. Now this is Peter writing to the church, not to Jerusalem. He's writing this to the Gentiles, to us, saying, you are coming to Christ. Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And on 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10, he says, but you are not like that. So if you have chosen, if you are, like he said, the ones who came to Christ, if you have accepted Christ, he says, then you are not like that. You are not like the ones who rejected him. You are not like that. For you are a chosen people. Again, if you've chosen Jesus, you become part of a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. The words you speak of God's passionate and his love and how he cherishes his possession, his people. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. This was the plan of God for Adam and Eve. This was the plan of God for Jerusalem. This is the plan of God for us as believers today. Show them the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. So we're stepping into a dangerous ground. We've chosen Jesus. We are not like those who rejected him. That means we now become a people. God's precious possession. The danger of this is, we are a chosen people in a chosen place. Who said he will build his church? Jesus. We are his people, God's very own possession, something that he loves passionately, and he's placed us into a place, a church that he said he will build. And the very danger of this is that we actually have the responsibility, not the responsibility. We have the ability to rob ourselves from his presence, the way Adam and Eve did, the way Jerusalem did. We're faced with the not the responsibility, but actually we're in this position where we are again a chosen people in a chosen place. Revelation 3, verse 20. This is Jesus writing a warning to the New Testament church. So this is a warning to us as well. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. The desire of God is that there will remain this friendship between Him and His creation, Him and His people, a friendship. Just as He came and He dwelt in the garden with Adam and Eve, just like when He came to Jerusalem, He wept because He knew instead of walking into a city that was called to bear His name, He will be rejected, He will be hated, He will be murdered. The very people running alongside that donkey praising Him will be the people a few days later shouting, "Crucify Him." The church and us as believers, we belong to Him, we are His people. But His desire for us is to be in His presence. His desire for us is to dwell in His presence, to represent Him well, and to show others the goodness of God. I think Moses said it best in Exodus 33:15-17. This is God saying to Moses, I'm done with you guys. Go. And then Moses responds, saying, if you don't personally go with us, God, if you don't in person, if you do not personally go with us, don't make us leave from this place. I'm not moving a foot without you, Lord. Verse 16, how will anyone know that you look favorably upon me, on me and your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on earth. This is what will set us aside. If we are a chosen people, a set-aside people, this is what sets us aside from the rest of the world, is His presence. We've got a sign up in the room that used to be our kitchen that says, "Skat, jy gaan met jou help met hierdie ene." Die peace ene. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of Christ. We are a people, and my prayer this morning was, Sundays are easy. Sundays are lovely. Sundays are amazing. Sundays are joyful. We come together, we worship, we're among like-minded people wanting to worship. People are here this morning because they wanted to. As Peter said, you didn't come here because you didn't want to. You came here, it's a sacrifice, because you wanted to be here. You got up early, you drove in your car with petrol that's expensive already, and you gave of yourself so that you can be here this morning, because it's a joy and it's a privilege to be here in His presence. But when we leave this place today, that's when we have to remain in His presence. Remain in the presence of God. Have the discipline to, in our quiet time, when we're at home. Ashanti started this morning in the prayer meeting saying that, because I asked her, what's on your heart? And she said, yeah, yesterday when she was speaking to God. And I thought, that's so, so awesome. Yesterday she was speaking to God. And she could just feel Him talk to her, present in her room. That's what we should be after, every day, all day, seeking His presence. When we are in His presence, we can represent Him well to this world. Be different, be set aside. That's when people look at a church or at Christians and think, what is wrong with these people? What do they have that we don't have? We find it hard. I don't know if you find it hard to kind of wait for an opportunity so that you can share the gospel. You kind of wait for that little door to open, just a crack, and then you can sneak in there with the gospel. Daniel had a moment this week at work where someone gave him just a little bit of a gap, and he's a run mouth, so you give him a gap and he doesn't stop. But we really look for opportunities to preach the gospel. But the fact is, our life lives should be creating the opportunities. Just the way people look at us. The way we live from Monday to Saturday. The way we react when we bump our toes or whatever happens. That should be a lifestyle where people ask, why are you different? How can you do business like this? How can you trust God for this? Why would you give up a day of work with a lot of tips to go to a prayer meeting? Why would you, Saturday afternoon, being a teenager, be in your room praying, spending time with God, asking Him questions? What's wrong with you? What do you have that I don't have? And then there you have the opportunity. There the door opens. Then we get to show people the goodness of God. So you all know that, or by now you should know that next week we've been praying about having a prayer meeting. And this started way back when Luke Watson was in Swellendam, and we actually went there as the youth leaders. And the Friday night we had an amazing time in his presence. The worship was going on, and we saw a beautiful response from children to the gospel. But I felt God saying, when last did you do something that's just dumb for me? When last did you do something that's even a bit irresponsible? Just, I don't know about you guys, but in a working environment, when you try to give up sleep, it's like Saturday nights are the only nights we get sleep, because Friday nights we have youth. Saturday is like we go to bed early because tomorrow is Sunday. But I felt God say, I want you to stretch a muscle for me. I want you to do something that will stretch you, that will, from the outside, set you apart. It's why will people come to a building and pray in the middle of winter through the night? Why would we do that? It's not because we want to make a statement. It's because we want to seek His presence. We need the presence of God again in our lives. We need it not just in a quick prayer on the way to work, not just in a quick reading of the Bible before we go to bed. We need His absolute presence. Acts 4:29. So this is Peter and James after they got beaten in jail. They went back to the other disciples and followers of Jesus. And they were talking about this. There's a massive pushback happening against the New Testament church. This, the Pharisees called it this thing of you talking in the name of Jesus. They said, stop it. And we're actually experiencing a bit of pushback in the world against Christianity, against church, against the structure of church, and against everything we know church should be healthy. We've all signed the petition. We're well aware of government trying to regulate churches. And this was happening to these disciples. They were telling them what they may and may not say. They were telling them to stop doing what they were doing. Get in line and fall into the system and fit in the box. But after receiving their beating, going to the other followers, this was their prayer. It's beautiful. And now, Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. It wasn't, Lord, change the government. Lord, give us a different government. I don't like this one. It wasn't, Lord, change their hearts so that it will be easy for us. No, it was, Lord, you hear their threats, but change us. Not change them, change us. Give us boldness in preaching your word. And then this beautifully, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miracles and signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And then after they prayed, after this prayer, the meeting place shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they preached the word of God with boldness. And this has been my desire for almost 2 months now. to experience Him in a way that we will be changed. To come together and pray so that we might be changed by His presence. And that we can take His presence and that we can trust Him to move ahead of us. Now, we've got a lot of empty seats because Claude's not here. They're in America. We're missing him, this whole front row. There are only 3 people, but somehow they take up the whole front row when they're here. It's weird. Cham Gary is sick, so please pray for him. But we're not building a brand. We're not trying to create a movement. The fact that we've got empty seats means someone is not with God today. Someone's not enjoying the presence of God. That means someone's not receiving healing power prayers. Look at this chair. This should be someone fitting into family. Finding family, because God says He will take the lonely and put them into family. This is Daniel's testimony. 3 years ago, he prayed, God, give me family. And why God gave him to us, I still don't know. But he's here. He's been here for the last 3 years. But it's his testimony. He's found family. This should be someone finding family. This should be someone, when they go through tough times, they've got a community coming around them. This should be someone that when they faced with fear and anxiety, they've got brothers and sisters to run to that can pray for them. And there should be someone enjoying what heaven has for us already now. The beauty and the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. The peace that surpasses all understanding. We're not trying to fill this church so that we can say, we've got a good congregation, we've got this many people, we've got this tithe coming in. That's not the idea. The fact that these are empty chairs means someone's not going to heaven. It means someone is going to hell. We love singing the song, Hell has lost another one, I am free. There's a lot of empty seats not saying that this morning. And I'm trusting God to change us, not change this. I'm trusting God to change us so that He will move ahead of us. We will pray for 24 hours straight on our knees, crying, Lord Jesus, will You save the lost? Will You change us? Will You give us boldness to speak Your word with wisdom and with power? And will there be signs following that, showing people that You are alive? We're not just a figure we read of in a book. You are the living God. When we pray, things happen. It's my heart's desire for us as a family to be a people of His presence, marked by His presence. Where people should almost fear coming to this building on a Sunday because you will not know what's going to happen. We're going to move to the table soon. And it's not the table of Josh Jen. This was the invitation of Jesus saying to His disciples, do this in remembrance of Me. Every time you get together, when you can, do this remembering Me that I will come back. Remember that I will not partake of this again until I'm with you and we have a feast together. And it's beautiful that we can partake in this, but I miss inviting new people into this. God said to those same disciples, now go and make disciples. Go and teach them to obey the things that I have taught you. Go and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and multiply the church, not so that we can grow a movement, so that the lost may be saved. We look at each other and we think, man, we love you guys. You can look at someone in this church and think, I love this person because we've gone through deep waters together. We've cried together. We've prayed together. We've done things together. That's family. And God wants to invite more people into this. So maybe, may we be a people of His presence. My prayer is, Lord Jesus, If we are your church, please don't let us be a church that you weep over. Don't let us be a church where you're standing outside knocking on the door wanting to come in, Lord, wanting to come have a feast with us as a friend. Lord, I pray that you will go ahead of us, as Moses said, that we don't go where you don't go. We will be marked by your presence because that will set us aside from the people of this world. That will show that we are a people of light, not a people of darkness. Let us, as we partake in this, Lord, do it with you, knowing that this is a promise, this is something you gave us as a sign of what you have done, but also, Lord, of what you will do. You will come again. One day we will have this feast with you in person, as a friend in heaven. We don't want to move if you don't move, Lord. And we want to trust you to move ahead of us into the hearts and into the lives of people. Soften their hearts. Make them hungry to receive you, Lord. Teach us to be different. In Jesus' name.